So you have a hankering for a quick lunch or dinner. The Greasy Spoon or fast food joint down the street will hit the spot. It's close by and it's bustling with people. But there's some competition in the Wild West that wants your business as well to run some of its operations. Your local hospital. An editorial written by Drs. Yoni Friedhoff and Rob Stevenson, published in the July 29th, 2008 edition of the Canadian Medical Association Journal, blasts many of the country's hospitals for not practicing what they preach. And I'm pleased to introduce and welcome back to our studio Dr. Yoni Friedhoff, Medical Director of the Bariatric Medical Institute. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, Barry.
It's great having you. And this is, we've talked about this many times before about, you know, if we're going to recommend to patients proper diets, how to take care of themselves, you know, how they should be empowered to choose what they want to eat, but have information to do that. It seems that this is just not happening in the hospitals.
No, it sure isn't. I mean, it really is a remarkable thing. I did a bit of a sort of undercover expose for a little while with a tiny little video camera in Ottawa hospitals, and that ultimately led to the publication of this editorial in the CMAJ. But, you know, it was not surprising, I guess, on the one hand, given that I'd been there as a resident and knew what was being served. But when I was there as a resident, I didn't have the nutritional knowledge that I do now. Most of my studies in nutrition have been, you know, after medical school. And so going back there with new eyes, I was more horrified than normal to see, you know, the offerings in the hospitals being not much better and probably in some cases worse than some of the sort of brand name fast food that's out there.
It's very true. I know that going to one of the hospitals here to the cafeteria to find something to eat, and I left the cafeteria because I couldn't find anything that I wanted to eat. Looking at what they were serving was not in my diet plan. It was just way, way too, everything fried, fatty, and I knew it was high a lot of calories. I knew there was a lot of salt. And so it becomes, but many people don't do that. They're hungry and they want to eat something, and really they're stuck for the most part because there aren't very many restaurants around the hospital area, so they do have to eat something.
Yeah, at least not in Ottawa. Certainly in some of the downtown Toronto hospitals, you can go outside and find something else to eat, not necessarily any better, but certainly it's an option. In Ottawa, though, if you want food and you're in a hospital, there really isn't much around, and so there isn't anywhere else to go. So the word captive is a real good one. And in terms of who is in captivity in those hospitals, well, it's thousands of allied healthcare workers. So, you know, whether it's doctors, nurses, dietitians, physiotherapists, the people who work in hospitals who presumably have some care about their health, given that that's the industry they've gone into as a living. And then you've got the people who are patients, not necessarily the emergency room patients because they're just in and out, but more the people whose families might be visiting on a regular basis because they've been admitted upstairs. And it really is a shame that in what should be a true sort of investment in health of all areas and all nature, we've got, you know, one that preaches health on the one hand and then serves the stuff that it tells us not to eat on the other.
What were some of the arguments put forth by the hospital administrators with regards to reforming how cafeterias operate?
Well, so the arguments are classic, and apparently they're longstanding. This has been a battle that, as I've gotten more educated in it, apparently it's been around for a while. People have been trying to make change in hospitals for a while. But the three arguments, one is that hospitals shouldn't be the food police. The other is that it's about money. We need to make money out of these cafeterias. And the third is that adults have a right to make choices. And we sort of dissected those three arguments in this particular editorial. Going back to the food police, we're not asking for policing. You know, we don't think that it's up to the hospital to only serve healthy foods. I think that might be great in an idealized world, but not in a realistic one. And so it's not about policing anymore, but it is about offering choices. As far as adults making choices, well, number one, you need to have a healthy alternative from which to make your alternative choice. And right now, at least in Ottawa hospitals, there really aren't much in the way of healthy alternatives. And secondly, they need to be informed. So medicine is all about, as you know, informing patients' choices. Our job as doctors is to give people information, and then people do whatever they want with that information. But we would be doing a very poor job if we didn't provide information. in the case of hospitals and food, the information, of course, that's required is the stuff you were looking for, things like calories and sodium. These are the determinants that will affect us on an immediate basis with regards to nutrition. And so in this editorial, we've called for the posting of information on menu boards, just like has been legislated in New York City and potentially coming down the pipes in Seattle and Washington. And lastly is the issue of money. And money is an interesting one because we live in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so in Canada, you know, it's socialized medicine in Canada, at least so far. And so as far as Canada goes, you can't just look at your day-to-day bottom lines and talk about this is an important thing to maintain our profit. You have to look at the fact that serving junk food to thousands of employees for decades may well actually cost more money over time. That's number one. And number two, we know from groups like the Compass Group, which is the world's largest provider of industrial sort of food services, that healthy foods actually sell. And out in Alberta, there's something called Healthy Trends. It's not mentioned in this article, but they've actually increased their profits by providing healthier options. So these are all very shallow, short-sighted arguments, usually made by the folks whose job it is to look at the mm-hmm. bottom line, but more unfortunately, occasionally made by doctors and dietitians and other people who frankly should know better.
This reminds me of, there was a really good piece on Marketplace, CBC's Marketplace, where they went to restaurants, the chain restaurants, and they said, okay, what would happen if we actually posted the calories, the fat content of the, and the sodium content of the foods on these menus? And would this change, first of all, a person's choices? And would they surprise people by saying, you know, that salad that you had, how many calories do you think is in this salad? Because it goes to what you were saying about people, if they don't have information, they tend to estimate. And if they estimate, the tendency is to underestimate.
No question. And actually, I'm very partial to that piece in Marketplace because I was on it. And I remember when Wendy Mesley, when we were talking prior to actually doing one of the shoots, and she was talking about some of the numbers involved. I don't get surprised easily. As you may imagine, I expect the worst from the fast food and from the restaurant establishment. Right. Even I was shocked at some of the calories there. It's completely non-intuitive.
Right.
And going back to the hospital, as far as being non-intuitive, at the Ottawa Hospital, soups there had more than a day's worth of sodium and had 3 grams of trans fat in a hospital. And again, unless you look for this information, and of all of the food served in the Ottawa Hospital, the only nutritional information available was for soups, and it was on a small laminated piece of paper that you had to hunt for. But the fact that soup is being served in a hospital with a day's worth of sodium and 3 grams of trans fat, it's just unconscionable.
So what would be the ideal consumer-oriented restaurant? For somebody to, it could be in the hospital, it can also be in the restaurants that we see in town. And how feasible is it to do that?
Well, we know it's feasible. What I see as being ideal is having a lot of options available, some of them being the more comforty style junk food stuff, mm-hmm. because, you know, let's get real, it's part of life.
It's life,
we can't take it away from life. And you know what? Sometimes it's a pleasant part of life.
Yeah.
But in order to make decisions, two things are necessary. One, we have to have nutritious, trans-fat-free, low in sodium, low in calories, low in saturated fat options that actually taste good, and just a salad bar does not count.
Right.
And then we need the information at our fingertips. The information I would recommend putting at our fingertips would likely be, certainly in a hospital, calories and sodium, potentially saturated in trans fats as well, although making hospitals trans-fat-free zones should not be a difficult stretch for people to consider being as an important goal. But that's what I would need to see. And at a bare minimum, calories. Because at the end of the day, you know, we've got a country where our weight is going up year by year. The majority of our population has weight to lose. The cost economically is going to be astronomical. And the currency of weight's calories. And it's a very, very easy thing to understand. More calories equals mm-hmm. more weight.
Well, there was a study released by the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality that estimates that they're saying here, if the trends of the past 3 decades continue, it's possible that every American adult could be overweight 40 years from now.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm going to actually blog about it just because I thought it was a very silly headline. Yeah. That was from Reuters, I believe, that particular headline that
how can you get 100% of everything? Yeah, exactly.
So it's when you extrapolate that line all the way out. I mean, obviously, we're going to reach some point where we stop because there will always be some skinny people, even simply for the fact that some people get paid to be skinny. But, you know, the bottom line is that the trend is still rising. We are not at our zenith yet. Now, we've got a ways to go, I imagine, before that. And unfortunately, as a consequence, there'll be a lot of morbidity, mortality, and economic hardship with this particular problem.
When we come back, I want to talk about several things and sort of put things together because you've been on quite a few times on the show and we've had pockets of different information. I want to try and bring this together. For example, one of our favorite authors and Dr. Brian Wansink, who wrote his book,
yes,
Mindless Eating. There's that aspect of food psychology. There's our perception of how much we're actually eating. There is our perception of how heavy or light our kids are and how we tend to underestimate that. And other studies that are coming out, there's the ingredients in foods that we continue to see, that high fructose corn syrup that's now been, when they looked at what carbohydrate in terms of our diet, when people restricted carbohydrates, really had the greatest effect in being removed. And it wasn't glucose and it wasn't sucrose. It was the high fructose corn syrup that actually made the difference in effective metabolism. So I want to get all that stuff and sort of put it all together for our listeners to get a broader scope of exactly what it is we're dealing with in our society.
Sure.
We're in conversation with Dr. Yoni Friedhoff, Medical Director of the Bariatric Medical Institute here in Ottawa, and we are taking your calls at 1-800-580-2372, 1-800-580-2372. If you have any questions for Dr. Friedhoff, we'd love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin, and you're listening to Sunday House Call on the Sunday House Call Radio Network.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call. You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
Welcome back. We're in conversation with Dr. Yoni Friedhoff, Medical Director of the Bariatric Medical Institute here in Ottawa. And I wanted to piece a few things together and also, you know, to follow up on, we're talking about restaurants and the choices for people. But one group that really doesn't have much of a choice are children when they go to restaurants. There's usually a kid's meal or a kid's meal menu. And there was a study that was out, a week and a half ago that looked at calories, salt content, and fat in these foods, and compared a lot of different menu items, and found that 93% of all those items, and this I think was 1,400 or 1,500 items, were above the cutoff, which was I think 430 calories for children between the ages of 8 and 12.
That's right. So it was 1,474 different combinations of foods from, I believe, 13 different fast food restaurants. The study was conducted by one of my favorite groups, the Center for Science and the Public Interest. They're a nonprofit nutritional advocacy group, so they're not answering to anybody. And so they wanted to know what was the calorie content in all of the kids' meals out there. And their conclusion, as you said, was quite jaw-dropping, was that 93% of the kids' meals had more calories than a kid's meal ought to have. And what they did to determine how many calories should a kid's meal have is they looked at the average number of calories a kid burns, divided it by 3, with the assumption that if you have more than that, it's too much. What I thought was more jaw-dropping was that the study reported that 1/3 of all children's calories are now coming from foods outside the home. And that, you know, it's 187 meals outside the home. It's a phenomenally large number. And as far as, you know, pointing fingers and laying blame as to why the world is getting bigger, certainly that would be one big finger to point. Because if 1/3 of the meals that you're getting have more calories than a meal ought to have, obviously that's going to contribute to weight. And I think back, you know, it's almost my birthday. I'm not a particularly old guy, but, you know, my childhood back in the 70s, we didn't go out to eat as a family. It was exceedingly rare. I don't know about you, Barry, but
it was a treat.
Yeah, I mean, maybe once a month we had a pizza come in. Maybe if we were lucky, maybe here and there we'd be pressed for time. We'd go out somewhere. But nowadays, you know, it's so commonplace. And as I've said many times, as far as, you know, one of the easiest things a parent can do for their children, because I speak to a lot of parents who are concerned about their kids, is to get them out of the restaurants. And that's an easy no-brainer, you don't even have to think about nutrition thing to do. And it may well go a long way if we can get that to happen.
But then that turns us to how you then, when you go into a grocery store, be able to analyze whether something that is being marketed to children or marketed to the parent for their children is actually going to be healthier than the restaurant fare, which a lot of times it isn't. And this, again, was another marketplace expose on the different systems that can be used to be able to identify and provide information to people about the nutritional quality of the food that's being consumed. And in the United States, they have, or they're trying to introduce, the Onkyo system. And in Canada, we have the health check system, which we both have a bit of a problem with, especially, and I still can't get around the fact that slush puppies are still a health check item.
Yes, they are. I saw them at the Ottawa Hospital when I was doing my expose. I've got them on video camera now.
So what can people do? What are the ideal systems? And if someone actually wants to look this up and sort of be proactive,
sure,
so that if they're going into a grocery store that's not offering any means other than what we have now, which is really not that adequate, what can they do, and how are these systems used to help them provide that help provide information?
Well, unfortunately, in Canada, there is not much in the way of systems. So we don't have a national system. So there was some talk, and actually HealthCheck was trying to lobby itself to become the national system. Hopefully that won't happen. But HealthCheck is that little heart on the front that's endorsed by the Heart and Stroke Foundation. But as we've talked about before, it still allows for the consumption of unbelievable amounts of both sodium, sugar, as well as calories, and certainly shouldn't be blindly trusted. Certainly there are some healthy foods with a health check on them. But to learn which those are, unfortunately, you have to learn how to read a food label. Mm-hmm. In the States, there are a few newer rating systems which were created by independent, shielded from industry researchers, my favorite being Onkyo, which we talked about in Hannaford Brothers' Force Guiding Stars. Onkyo's simple. It's a scale of 1 to 100. If a food has 100, it's really healthy for you, and if it's got a 1, it's not. And that way, with those types of systems, you can look at food side by side, taking into account over 20 different variables of food nutrition, variables including, of course, calories and sodium and trans fats and saturated fats, but then going further into the inclusion of grains and types of grains and healthier fats. It's a very robust means to do things, whereas HealthCheck looks at 3 items total and, as a consequence, misses a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But until we get a robust system in Canada, unfortunately, then it's up to us to learn how to read food labels. Now, you can go, if you want, to my blog, do a Google search for Weighty Matters, and I'll be the first thing that comes up, or just put in my last name and I'll be the first thing that comes up. It's Friedhoff. But on my blog, if you do a search, how to read a food label, I've got a couple of articles there on sort of the down and dirty way to do it. But the things that I look at first, and certainly if we're busy in the supermarket, calories are number one. Because unfortunately, the consequences of additional calories are much higher than the consequences of additional other things. We probably look at sodium number two, fats number three, and then we'll look at the actual ingredient list to look for types of sugars and look at how many sugars there are and the grams of sugars. And for sugar grams, it's an easy thing to remember too. Divide the number by 4 and now you've got teaspoons, and that can give you an idea of what you're looking at. But basically, calories and sodium, less is more. So if you're comparing two items and they look comparable, but they're lower in calories and sodium, pick the lower one. And then as far as grains go, whole is what we want. Fats, we eliminate trans. So just don't buy anything with trans. That's easy. Minimize saturated. That's easy to remember, too. And if you can, include more of the unsaturateds. But really, at the end of the day, I think it would be very valuable in Canada were we to have a system like Onkyo. The other one we mentioned was Hannaford Brothers, and that's 4 stars. And so that gives us 4 degrees of grading. I think that I personally would want more. So Onkyo has 100 degrees because there's a difference between 1 and 100. And of course, HealthCheck has 2. And so health check, one of the items I remember that they evaluated with us on the show on Marketplace, Anki looked at it, gave it a 9 out of 100. But yet here in Canada got a health check. And of course, it also got 0 stars.
So we're presented with all this food, and even with proper food choices, it's still quantity, though. So you can be eating very healthful food, but if you're loading up a large plate, that's not going to help you very much.
Absolutely. And so, as you mentioned, it brings us right to Brian Wansink. So Brian, he's the head of the Food and Brands Lab at Cornell, or at least he used to be, because he's also now been hired by the USDA to help them with the messaging behind their next American food pyramid. I'm not a fan of the pyramid. Hopefully Brian's will be better, so we'll find out. But as far as Brian goes, smaller plates equals smaller portions, and that's an easy thing to switch at home to.
And also when at a restaurant, if you're ordering a meal with someone, order the same one and just split it in half.
Yeah, or you could even ask before it comes out that they put half of it away so that it's not even on the plate to begin with to tempt you.
Dr. Yoni Friedhoff is medical director of the Bariatric Medical Institute here in Ottawa, and I'd like to thank you once again for coming into the studio.
Oh, my pleasure.
And for those listeners on the Sunday House Call Radio Network who have the one-hour version of our show, I'd like to thank you very much for taking time to listen to the show. Your comments at sundayhousecall.com will be most appreciated. And I wish you all a really great week. For those on the Sunday House Call Radio Network listening to our two-hour version, we'll be back in just about 8 minutes, 9 minutes from now, taking your calls at 1-800-580-2372, 1-800-580-2372. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin, and you are listening to Sunday House Call.